Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Infinite complacence. People went to and fro the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
Gareth, if you would, just let everybody know where I am chatting with you, where you are right now, and why you got in contact with me, and just, you know, set everybody up where you think they should start.
Okay. Well, I'm in London, UK, obviously, with a British accent. So, yeah, it's, that's where I am. Yeah, and, but this didn't happen until I moved kind of backwards and forwards. In the Midlands, kind of Birmingham area sort of way in the UK. I think it's because now I'm divorced, I can now tell my story, really. It wasn't amicable. So, you know, it's one of those things that goes through life, you know. But yeah, it's a kind of warning, really. And I guess if you kind of see stuff that's going wrong that you can't put your finger on, then it's like, get help. Really get help, because something you can have that's amazing be destroyed by something that you have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll hear in the story, it wasn't just things that happened that kind of forced the kind of like the issue with my marriage. It was just other things that kind of, yeah, there's something more here than just kind of like two people going separate ways sort of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's you know, if you get it, and then, or if you've sensed or you feel it, you know it, just get help from anywhere, you know. Well, not anywhere, obviously, but you know, try and find someone who knows what's going on, you know, because it is destructive ultimately, you know, which is quite a scary thing, really, when you think about. You know, and you kind of think about this can't be happening, but then yeah, it is happening, and you know it's happening, but it's hard to try and get people to believe what's happening unless they're in that situation. You know, so yeah, that's the reason why I kind of, and I think it's just like I'm ready to tell it. You know, I think I'm ready to tell a story.
And I know you're not going to share any names, and that's totally fine. But can you let us know, you know, how long you guys were married, how your relationship was, however much you want to go in with that before, you know, the whole mirror thing began?
We met up. We were old school friends, and then we met up, and then kind of just one thing led to another. And it was like, fine, cool, excellent. And it was a kind of strange thing because I'd booked a road trip around America before we met up, and did that and came back, and I thought, time's right, you know. And this wasn't too long ago. This was only like 2016. This was, you know. Yeah, we just kind of, you know, got together, and it was perfect. It was fine, you know. If you know, as it would be. And that's the weird thing as well, because you don't notice those things. Now when I first showed up, you know, it's like, I guess I had a sense that something, I've had weird stuff happen to me before, and before in different houses and stuff like that. And you kind of get a sense of when something's not right. But because I think it was like kind of wrapped up in happiness and stuff like that, then it was kind of hidden and didn't see it. But then after a while, I got that kind of tingly feeling, I guess. And it's like, I don't know how the only best way I can describe it when I felt it before going into environments is it's like you're listening to, you know, when someone's got headphones on the tube or the metro or whatever.
Right.
And it's just an annoying sound. And it's just, and it's not just the sound or the music. It's like a frequency that jars you, you know. That's the only way I can describe it. Yeah,
sorry, Garrett. So just to be clear, you're talking about you're starting to date this person and you're going to her house and having this feeling? I'm not clear about what, talking about.
Yeah, because I was going to her house, you know, because I lived in London, she lived up in the Midlands. So I was back and forth, yeah. And it's working out fine. But then when things became a bit more settled between us, that's when I started to kind of like think, hang on, no, there's something wrong here. And I couldn't put my finger on it because it was a kind of feeling that was everywhere but nowhere at the same time. It seemed to kind of move around the house. Sometimes you can get a sense in a particular room, but this was, this was everywhere but nowhere at the same time, like I said, which is an odd thing to say, but you just kind of got kind of glimpses and like, ugh, that was a bit horrible, weird feelings that you just know you just didn't need to have in somewhere where you kind of like, I guess you feel safe, really, you know. It was probably around November, December was the first kind of inkling when something was not right, where I was planning to propose to her. You know, it was with her daughters. It was a big secret with her and, you know, between me and her daughters and stuff. Well, one particular daughter, actually. I was keeping it away from the other two. I think it was around November time, late November. We're in the bedroom watching TV, and then this mirror just went bang bang. It's kind of like I think you've seen the picture. It's like on a hinge. It's like a hinge in the center on a big oval mirror. And it's not an old mirror. It's a new one because it's probably from IKEA or something like that. And it was sat in the corner of this little atrium that we had where me and her, we used to go and have cigarettes and stuff like that. There's no windows open because, you know, it's cold in November. And that's why I remember why when it happened, because it was cold outside. The force that it swung forward and then backwards at the same time. I'm surprised the mirror didn't break. It was so fast, so hard. And so I could see it in the corner of my eye. And that spooked both of us out. Because you sit there and think, what could have done that? And you go through the checklist really of like, is the window open? You know, is the cat around? Is all these things? But no, it just moved by itself.
And Gareth, just really quickly, because I have the picture, but nobody else, you know, maybe knows what this looks like. Maybe if with your permission, I can put it in show notes. But not everybody goes to the website. What size is this mirror?
Oh, I'd say it was probably about 5 foot high, something like that. You know, it was on like a little stand, and it had two legs that stood up, and it kind of attached to the center, so you could swing it backwards and forwards. So I think, you know,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Up and down, like, you know, just like a pine frame thing. But it, you know, like I said, there was no age to it. You know, it wasn't an old mirror by any stretch of the imagination. You know, probably about sort of 15 years old, I should think. That's the best way I can describe it, really. It's like I said, it's like an oval elliptic mirror. So we got engaged on December 21st, I think it was. One of the daughters filmed it, and then we were looking through the video again, and that's when we started seeing. Now there's a rotating Christmas light going on, and you can see the lights because they're quite bright on the reflection. But this thing doesn't travel in the direction of the lights, and it drops behind me, passes through me, and then passes through my wife, and it kind of zips up in a different direction. So it kind of changes direction about three times as it's on the video, and I might try and see if I can find that and send it to you, but obviously probably not best to publish that one, but you'll understand. Now, because it was happy and stuff like that, we kind of thought that, you know, because my wife was quite kind of in understanding of ghosts and stuff like that, you know, the paranormal. We kind of thought, well, maybe that's my sister, you know, because my sister passed in 2006. So we thought, well, if she's come to join us in our happiness, then that's all the good sort of thing. And we didn't think it may have had anything to do with the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
So Christmas came and went. Then January, I think it was, we were lying in bed watching TV again, and we had the lights off, and she had a red dress hanging up by a cupboard door. Was it on a hanger? Yeah, it was kind of like on a hanger by the cupboard door. And all by itself, it started moving like it was being, I don't know, felt, if you know what I mean. It's hard to, because the waist started scrunching in. We just stared and watched it for like about 5 minutes, just kind of swinging by itself. It was like a red dress. And that's when we started kind of thinking, yeah, there's something more going on here again. And then it started to kind of ramp up a lot. I remember she went downstairs like about a couple of weeks later. She just went down to like get a cup of tea or something like that. I could hear her going down the stairs. And she got to the bottom of the stairs and she turned the lights on and she just screamed my name. So I thought, what's going on? So I ran downstairs and she just pointed at me. She goes, look, and there's two lights in the living room, the lounge. And they were just swinging backwards and forwards. Not at the same time, but they were kind of like pendulum, but one went one way as of one hit the other one, and they would swing back against each other. And we just watched those for ages. And I said, did you do that? And she went, no, I didn't do it. No. And then I thought, no, she couldn't have done that, because I heard her get to the bottom of the stairs, turn the light on, and then suddenly scream my name. And it was just, again, a catalogue of things that, you know, just pictures flew off the walls on the stairway, and constant banging, and it was quite weird because the neighbors were quiet as mice. You know, you never heard a peep from the neighbors, but the weird thing was with the banging. No, I totally forgot about this. This was my fault as well, probably. The youngest daughter was kind of like aware of this as well, because she started experiencing things as well. We're like, oh, let's play ghost hunting, blah blah blah. So we were messing around with those little apps you can get on the phone and stuff like that. You know, those, what are they called? The boxes? What are those boxes
like,
called?
Spirit box.
Yeah. Those things. You know the types you can download and it kind of picks up electromagnetic energy and blah, blah, blah. But I downloaded one. It was one that would make kind of, you know, noises like words and names or whatever it was. Foolishly, looking back, I just think what an absolute dick. I'm sat there on my own in the little atrium by the mirror, and I've got my phone pointing at it. It's going like the kind of the noises that it makes. I can't remember which app it was now. I just foolishly said, "Go on, then. If you've got something to say, say it." And the phone just went absolutely mental. It kind of started, it sounded like it would start in the background, and it just kind of ramped up right past the phone. And then there's a little shower room connected to the atrium. It sounded like someone had just got a big pile of plastic shampoo bottles or whatever it was and just threw them on the floor really loudly. But the door was open to the shower, so I could see that, and just nothing happened. There was nothing fell on the floor. And I thought, right, okay, that's it then. That's when I know there's something here, and you just don't ask it to come back in again.
And what did the phone do? What did the app do?
Oh, the app just spiked all over the place, and it instead of words, it was a proper growl.
Mm.
It was a real growl. That's the only way I could describe the noise that it made. And normally it just be like a that kind of weird stuff, and then you get kind of words come out on text, but no words came out in the text on this one. But you could hear it come through the phone as an absolute growl. And yeah, I switched the app off. I was like, no, done, not doing this anymore. And of course, you know, a few hours later, the little one comes up. She's like, yeah, let's go and see if the ghost is around. I'm like, no, you really don't.
Did you tell her what you heard and what happened in the bathroom?
No one heard what happened in the bathroom.
No, but did you tell her what happened?
Oh, no.
You didn't want to scare her? No. Yeah.
No, exactly. I mean, she was quiet. You know, she'd like watching like horror films and like stuff like that. And she was you know, a kid with an imagination sort of thing. But, you know, we'd end up sharing weird experiences, you know, just watching TV. And that's when you kind of, when I started to put two and two together, and it was not really
a light and love spirit, like a happy, happy spirit.
Yeah, no, yeah. It wasn't. It was something that I don't think like people being together. So again, you know, loads of weird stuff. Oh, of course. Yeah. The best one, one of our favorite ones was me and my wife started asking questions to candles and on her bed table. You know, shut all the windows, shut all the doors. Of course, we're asking it questions, and it's just flickering away. And then it would stop. You know, the candle would, you know, the flame would stop dead straight. And then you'd ask it another question. I can't remember. We were asking it loads of stuff, you know. And of course, it would always answer a question, and it would say, you know, I think we were asked, you know, are you friendly? Then there'd be nothing. And it's like, do you want to hurt us? And then it would flicker. And then oddly enough, that was in, I bought a set of candles that had our initials on with a heart in between, you know, daft stuff like that, you know, what you do. Yeah, it would always kind of flicker on a name or initial that was pertinent to the question that was asked. Which was, you know, you sit there and think, well, why were we even entertaining this? It was kind of a bit of fun, really. But then again, you know, odd stuff happened during the months. It was just like weird things, like a pen that I'd have would suddenly disappear. Then you think, well, it's just a pen. But then it would just end up in random places. Like, I think one ended up on the microwave. It's like a weird thing where it ended up on the microwave. But it was something that I always kept in like the bedside table. And it just kept moving around. So we put it in odd places and not tell anyone. You know, high on a wardrobe or something like that. We'd find it, you know, one of the girls would find it outside of a bedroom, you know, and it's just a pen, but it's just a weird, you know, and everyone would go, well, anyone could have moved it. And you think, yeah, anybody could do. But if no one else knew where me and my wife put it individually without telling anyone, how would that pen find itself all around the house? It just sounds so daft, you know, when you say it like that. And then, yeah, when we got married, we came back, and it was, I think it was like the second night after being married. Now, I just got a new phone because I'd stupidly dropped mine and smashed it. So it was a brand new phone. And I put it on the ironing board. So we're in this little atrium again, having a cigarette. And this thing lifted about 6 inches off the ironing board and flew 6 foot across the room. And we both saw it. And, you know, we nearly set the house on fire because our cigarettes just dropped out of our mouths. It's like, did you see that? I'm like, yeah, of course I saw it. I heard it as well. And you think, yeah, there's no answer for that. And then little things started to happen that you could tell that it was directed at me. And then that kind of culminated in that go away written on the mirror. Then I knew, yeah, no, this is definitely directed at me. And it was a kind of strange thing as well, because about a couple of months after, actually, no, it wasn't even a couple of months. It was like a month or a couple of weeks after, my wife just changed. Her personality changed, and it spun on a sixpence, because she just wasn't the person I married. That was the scary thing, I think, because if it couldn't get it through itself to me, I think it started trying to get to me through my wife, which was, yeah, kind of a weird one to take, really, because you can't fight it.
And Gareth, can you describe a little bit more, in as much detail as you want, about examples of her personality changing and how that affected your relationship?
She was full of life, and then she just withdrew, withdrawn. I'd say there was suddenly a distance between the two of us, which, you know, when you kind of you're newlywed, you just don't really expect it to be there, you know.
So it was a very very quick change. I mean, within a couple of weeks or a couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, you know, it's like, I could say that it started to feel like it was a couple of months afterwards, but when you look back at it, it was like it was more or less kind of like a couple of weeks afterwards we got married.
Mm.
And it was, you know, that's when the atmosphere of the house started to really change. It didn't really affect the two older girls, and not the youngest one either, really. She was happy in life and stuff like that, and quite unaware of a few things. But then I think it was in the summer holiday afterwards, she was doing a little kind of Snapchat video or something like that with her friend. She's talking away, and then her friend screams and said, "It's behind you." I think she'd videoed it, so she showed me it afterwards, and the shadow just kind of drifts right across the wall and the ceiling.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
And her friend, I think, stopped the conversation and went away. So her, you know, that one's kind of, you know, trying to get back to her, and she's like, she goes, look back on the video, and you'll see it. And she's in tears. You know, this is a friend who's in tears. So even a friend saw it outside of the house. She got scratched on her hand while drinking a Coke, watching TV. It was like a scar. We call them chicken scratches over here. Where it's just, you know, when you graze your skin, but you don't really cut it, if you know what I mean. It's like a very red mark. And I had total trust in her, because, you know, we'd seen kind of little orbs in the rooms and stuff like that, just by watching TV and the like, you know. The chandelier started swinging as well when we were watching TV, which kind of freaked her out a bit.
Now, how many people got scratched? Did you ever get scratched?
No, I didn't. No. It was just the littlest one, and then my wife did on the final night. The last time I saw her, that was big. That was like.
Well, now, before you get to that, is there any other little things that you wanted to share, or because you already teased the, you know, the writing on the mirror, and we want to talk about that last night, but I kind of want to make sure we get everything else in before we get to those points.
Yeah. The writing on the mirror, because people, you know, how that game came about. So we used to go to dinner with our parents on a Sunday. So we go in two separate cars. I don't know why we just did. I think because it wasn't room half the time. So my wife left with the two oldest daughters, and then I left with the little one. But she was downstairs getting ready, and then I ran upstairs to get something, which was by the mirror, picked it up, and then kind of went back down, drove off, had a lovely meal on Sunday dinner. I had to come back early because I was driving back to London. So I brought the little one because she had to get ready for school. So that was fine, you know. I'm up in the room sorting my bag out and stuff like that. And then I thought, you know, sit back and watch TV. So I'm watching TV while little one's in the shower, having a shower. Now, she could shower, you know, she could drain a lake in a shower. It was just, you know, half an hour easily. So no one had come back by that point. And then she was getting out of the shower. As she came out, I think her mum came back. I think her mum and the eldest one came back, because that picture, I thought I'd taken the picture, but I hadn't. It was one of the daughters that took the picture, and she sent it to me. And the little one just screamed, absolute blood-curdling scream. You think, what the heck, what's going on? So you're like, you're all right. And she goes, why did you write something so mean? I'm like, write what? And she said, why did you write that something so mean on the mirror? And I said, I didn't write anything. She goes, look, you've written that. So I looked at it, and it was just like, wow. That happened while I was sitting on the bed watching TV, and then she was in the shower room next door.
And it was written, go away, on the mirror?
Yeah, go away, yeah. And it was, do you know what? I actually said to her, I said, why did you write it for? She said, I didn't. And so I went to, so, you know, you went to see what it's like. And it was, I thought it was wax. I thought it was a wax candle, but it wasn't wax at all. And of course, then by that point, people had come back and they came upstairs. And then my wife saw it, and she froze. The second youngest one was freaking out of that one as well. She goes, who wrote that? So we don't know.
And Gareth, you had quite a good relationship with all three of her daughters, correct?
Oh God, yeah. It was good. There was like a 10-year age gap between the oldest and the youngest. So each of different ages.
And what were their ages? What were their ages at the time?
Let's see. The youngest one would have been about 10. The other one was doing her exam, so that would have been about 15, 16. And then the other one was 19. So yeah, it was around that time, those ages. And you know, it's a classic kind of age, you know. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that had anything to do with it. I really don't. You know, because the two oldest didn't have a clue what was going on. You know, they didn't sense anything, or didn't have any experiences themselves. Whether they could feel it or not, I don't know. But it just didn't happen to those. Oh no, actually no. The second one, the pen kept appearing outside her door, and then she kept hearing whistling a lot. And I actually, when I go back to think about that, then because we started hearing whistling on the last night, which was quite bizarre. But yeah, because that came from absolutely nowhere.
So it mostly interacted with you and the youngest, who was around 10 at the time, and then your wife.
Yeah. But then it did. I don't think it did interact after we got married, because. Oh God, yeah, I completely forgot about this one as well. Yeah, no. Before we got married, I think it was about March. She woke up and she just saw me standing in front of a built-in wardrobe. The odd thing was, though, I cleared it of all old stuff that she had kept and that wasn't relevant. And I was like, I'm getting rid of this. So I got rid of it. And she said, she goes, you just stood there for like 2 hours. She said, you just didn't move.
You stood still for 2 hours?
Yeah, she said, you just didn't move.
Oh, my goodness. That would creep me right out.
Yeah. And she said, I couldn't wake you. She said, I tried to move you and you couldn't move.
And you, of course, have no memory of this.
No recollection of it whatsoever. It was, yeah. And it was, yeah, I was like, well, I must have moved. You know, you must have been making it up. She said, no, you just stood there staring at them. She goes, your eyes weren't open, but you could tell you were staring at the cupboard. Yeah, that was, when you kind of think back, yeah, that's a kind of a weird loss of control, you know, to be asleep and just stand there for 2 hours. You know, she said, I was just watching TV. She said, because you weren't moving.
I mean, do you have some kind of history of sleepwalking? Had you ever done that before?
No, never slept walked in my life. Never slept walked in my life. Yeah, and she goes, you just turned around and just like got back into bed again. Like nothing. Yeah, that was a kind of a strange experience not to have, but have at the same time.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, so and then it was a kind of weird thing where after the little one got scratched, it went quiet. It was because it started to feel like every time I went up there, it was just like, what's going to happen this week? What's going to happen this week? I think I kind of reached out to the Facebook group. But you know what Facebook groups like, you know, this like stuff goes past, like, you know, you put something at the wrong time and then 20 people put a message on, you know, and you just get lost. Because it got to the point where I was like, you know, desperate for help sort of thing. But, you know, that's, I get Facebook groups, you know, and because... I just got fed up of not knowing what was going to happen, and it became tiring as well, and that's the thing. So I think someone wrote out and said, you know, don't break the mirror, you know, because it got to the point where I knew where it was coming from and I wanted to get rid of the mirror. I tried, I think it was about 5 times between then and the last night, to try and get rid of the mirror, but every time I did, something stopped me.
Like what?
Whether it was something to do with the daughters or my wife saying, no, don't get rid of it. I'm like, no, I'll just get a new one. She goes, don't get rid of it until you get a new one. I'm like, oh, yeah, of course, yeah, because you need a mirror. And then, you know, I'd have to leave to come back to London for work and stuff like that, and, you know, it never really happened. Yeah, that's one of my biggest regrets. But then at the same time, seeing it halfway through, well, I think it was like after the third time I tried to get rid of it, I actually saw it, you know, I'd never actually mentioned about getting rid of the mirror inside the house because I just didn't think that was wise. So I think it was just, you know, I think it was it was ever present. And it was a weird thing where we were again having a cigarette and it just moved slowly. It didn't bash or it just moved slowly, and then we'd hear like bangs and stuff like that and pictures coming off the walls and the like again. That's when I kind of realized I'm going to try and get rid of it, but I don't know if it's in the house or not in the house, because I think that's how it comes in. I think when the mirror moves, that's when it comes in.
Yeah, so that's why you felt even just moving it somewhere else inside the house or covering it up, that wouldn't have done anything.
Right. So, yeah, I thought, you know what, if I can't get rid of the mirror, I'll move the mirror. So I moved, and that's when it went quiet. I moved the mirror just to the opposite corner, changed the whole layout of the room so it was much more relaxing and, you know, and comfortable place to chill and be in. It stopped. Everything stopped. And it was just like, it didn't, and it was almost instant. There was a kind of lightness in the house again. And I was like, oh, all I had to do was move the mirror.
So do you think it was just...
But I thought, I was still going to get rid of it.
But do you think it was just playing with you, obviously? It was letting you get comfortable again.
I don't know. I think just that being in, not being in that place, being in a different place for so long. I was like, not being in the place it had been in since day one. I think it kind of just dislodged its kind of access sort of thing. But I think it clocked on. You know,
and how long did the piece last?
That was in like, I think it was July I did that. So it would have probably been about July, August, September, October, November. Yeah. July, August, September. Yeah, 2 months. 2 months.
And then is this when we start to work into this final kind of coup de grace night?
Yeah. Because again, my wife kind of lightened up and it kind of went back to normal and stuff like that. And we went through our first anniversary. And yeah, it was all good. You know, we're enjoying life again, sort of thing. And then yeah, it just kicked off one night. So we'd had dinner and my wife went down, had gone down for a lie down and stuff like that, you know, and we're downstairs watching TV. And then the little one says, because I'm going to go and lie down in my room. I'm like, yeah, fine. Yeah, do whatever, you know. And I can't remember what I was watching. I think I may have been actually playing Call of Duty. I think it was. And I thought I'm just going to make myself a cup of tea. So stood up, went into the kitchen, and then I heard this audible shout of Gaz, so loud. And I start running upstairs. As I'm running up the stairs, the little one runs out of her bedroom. And I said, did you call me? She goes, no, that came from upstairs. I said, did you hear that? She goes, yeah, someone shouted your name. So we ran upstairs. As we get to the top of the stairs, there was a mighty crash, exactly like the noise I heard when the bottles came out, flying out. Like someone had dropped all the shampoo bottles. That woke my wife up. She started screaming. Two of the pitchers on the landing flew off. We walked into the room and the door slammed shut behind us. And although that wasn't the first time, I remember it happening again. Just slowly. It was weird, really weird. But yeah, anyway. So it was like, what was that noise? What was that noise? It's like, did you drop something? Did you fall out of bed? And she goes, no, I've been asleep. And it was, I was like, no, I can't say. And I thought, no, I said, but I've heard that noise before. I said, that's from the mirror. And she goes, what do you mean it's from the mirror? I said, no, I explained about the sort of like stupid thing I did with the phone. It started weirdly where someone started whistling and only me and the little one could hear it. It was a five note whistle. It was like, and it was like, oh God, that just chills me actually even whistling it myself, because it was, and my wife, and it's like, you must be able to hear that. You must be able to. She goes, no. She goes, all I can hear is an old woman singing.
An old woman singing?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
And I'm like, no, it's a man whistling.
And what did the youngest hear?
She heard the whistling. She goes, no, it's an old man whistling. I said, yes, exactly. It's no, and I said, right, okay, 1, 2, 3, whistle. And we both whistled the tune at exactly the same time. I was like, right, okay, no. You know. Then the lights went off, on and 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 off. I challenged it. I said, just go. I said, you're not wanted here. You're not wanted here. And I'm not giving, I said, because by that point, I kind of figured out what was going on. And I said, I'm never going to give you what you want. And that's when the mirror went bang. It kind of flipped up from the bottom. So the bottom went out forward. He thought, okay, job done. So we're again watching TV, everything calmed down. We're chatting away. And I'm lying on the bed. I could just see the mirror slowly move down over my wife's head because she was sat in front of it rolling a cigarette. And she's like, G, 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 G. gee, I said, yeah, no, I can see it, I can see it, I can see it. And then she changed. It was like somebody else had taken over her, to the point where the little one started crying. It was just a challenge to talk to her. It really was. And that's when she became absolutely belligerent, to the point where she turned around and she goes, who the f*** are you? Who are you? Get out of my house. And it was like, well, please, you know.
Was her voice any different, Gareth?
Yeah, it was the same voice, but not her voice. That sounds like a contradiction, but there was a different tone to it, like, you know, intonation, or mm-hmm. if that's a word. And that's when I started shouting down for the oldest one to come up, because I knew there was nothing I could do. And then she started behaving, or pretending to be someone who I knew who'd commit suicide. Then it was like, no, I know it's not you. No, it's not you.
What was she saying to make you realize that that was going on?
It was just so argumentative and kind of, it was like she just got in a huff and a bad mood for no reason whatsoever. And that's when she started claiming to be my friend. It was like, all right then. Well, when was the last time we met then? And every answer was kind of avoided the answer, you know. I was like, no, go on, just answer. It's a simple question, you know. It's a simple question. And then she changed. She was like, what's going on? Who are you talking to? I'm like, well, apparently I'm talking to my friend. And I hadn't kind of noticed, but we'd left the mirror where it was, and that kind of moved, tilted forwards. So I said, right, okay, I'm going to go down and get a cup of tea, because, you know, or something stronger, because I'm done. I'm done with this. So I went down and got a glass of wine or a beer, I think it was. And as I'm coming upstairs, her and the little one absolutely screamed. And my wife said, it's the old woman's here. There's an old woman here. The little one said, she goes, yeah, no, I heard her as well. She just screamed in our faces. I said, what do you mean she's screaming in your face? She goes, we just heard a scream in our faces. She said, we can feel the breath as well. So, yeah, it was like, oh, it's back. And again, told her to go away. And I think, I can't remember if it what happened after that. It was a bit hazy after that. Then I do remember my wife sitting down rolling to have a cigarette again, like half an hour later. That's when her legs flew up in the air. And she slid 4 feet across the floor. And that's when she said, my back's burning. And I said, what do you mean your back's burning? She lifted up a T-shirt. And there were three big red marks right down, going from her shoulder, just like both shoulders, right across her back. And that was frightening. Because you just know it's more than that now. It's more than just the kind of noises and bumps and stuff like that. So I think I prayed actually at that point. I think that's, do I, you know, yeah, I think that's just, you know, if you're there, God, just get rid of it. Just, I can't do this anymore. And then it left. It was a weird one. It just stopped. But it was so draining, because it was just constantly kind of that whistling, that, you know, not knowing where it was in the room, not knowing if it was in the room or not, not knowing if it would do anything to you, not knowing if it would do anything to, you know, my wife and the little one. And of course, eventually it did do something to my wife. And that's when I said, look, I'm getting rid of this mirror. And that's when she defended. She said, she goes, you're never going to get rid of that mirror. And I was like, no, yeah, we have to get rid of it. We have to get rid of it. And I think she may have actually said, if you get rid of the mirror, we're done. And I was like, it's just a mirror. Well, it's not just a mirror. Do you know what I mean? It's like I said, I can't have that thing coming into the house anymore. But yeah, so I went home on the Monday, I think it was. Oh, the Sunday. Yeah, Monday, early Monday morning to me until for London. And that's when my head gasket blew on my car. And yeah, that was the last time I saw my wife.
So she asked for a divorce shortly thereafter?
No, I asked for one. Good, because other things happened. I think what it wanted was me either away, gone, or to, you know, push my wife to the point where I would be fit, you know, there would be a physical response towards my wife. And I think it's a frightening thing when you realize that you're completely out of control. And you know, I've mentioned this to people before and they don't believe you, but it's like, you know, imagine if you got, I kind of, you know, I said this to one person once. I said, imagine if you lived in a gated community and you got burgled. You'd believe it, because you live in a gated community and that's not supposed to happen. You know, but those kind of, along those lines, you know, it's, yeah.
So Gareth, yeah. In your, I think it was in the very first email to me, you know, the subject line was essentially demon in the mirror.
Yeah.
So, I mean, was it the three scratches, which classically we think of as something mocking the Holy Trinity, right? So was it at that point you thought, you started to think, well, this is maybe something demonic, or was it some of the other stuff before? I mean, you're hearing, you know, the whistling, but then there's, you know, singing from an old woman, which you're not hearing, but she is. I mean, there's all kinds of different things going on here. At what point did you think that this was something demonic?
I think it was when the go away came on. I had an idea when I was messing around with the phone thing, but when that go away came on, that was personal. And I have to say, when that's the stuff that was, it was written with, I said, you know, I thought it was candle wax, but it you know, you try and scrape it off and it just wouldn't come off. We tried nail polish remover, methylate spirits. I think we tried bleach at one point, lighter fluid at some point. But yeah, it took a lot to get that off. Oh, and incidentally as well, we started noticing there's another little mirror in the shower room, and that started having French writing in it.
French writing?
I can't remember. I wish I'd taken a picture of that as well, but. If this bathroom would get steamy, it would just appear. So you'd wipe the mirror down and stuff like that, and you know, you'd have a shower the next day, and there it would be again.
And any it's of like, you guys speak
it was
French?
It was like it was etched in that mirror, but not etched, if you know what I mean.
And any of you guys speak any French?
No. No, not at all. No, and I can't remember what it said, because it was. Written in French, sort of thing, and I wish I could remember what that was now. But yeah, that was a strange thing to have just keep coming back all the time. It was the same phrase.
It was the same phrase over and over again.
Yeah. So it was, you know, whether someone had put something on the mirror or something, I don't know. But you couldn't see it if there wasn't any steam.
And was it always in the exact same spot? I mean,
yeah, that was always in the same spot. Yeah, that one. It was just like a little bathroom mirror sort of thing, you know. Yeah, that was a weird one. Yeah, I can't remember that. Yeah,
Gareth, when you mentioned that on that kind of final night, that there were two pictures that flew off. Do you remember what two pictures those were that flew off of the stand?
No, they were just kind of like, I think they were kind of flowers. Yeah, they were flowers.
Okay,
yeah,
decorative pictures. I gotcha. Okay, I just didn't know if it was, you know, happened to be pictures of certain people. No, that's what I was wondering. Okay. Now, okay, so you guys are now divorced, obviously. You're no longer with her. Do you feel like anything has followed you?
No. Not at all. Quite categorical. No, I mean, I've lived, like I said, it's like I've lived in a haunted house once, and I've been on holiday in a haunted house, and knew something was there, but no, nothing ever since.
Well, that's positive, at least.
Yeah, it is, yeah, and then you kind of like, no, I think, but then at the end of the day, you know, it's just, the sad thing is, I think the thing got what it wanted.
Right. You know, well, what about, so are you in touch with the stepdaughters at all?
Just one.
Are they having any more activity at home?
Not that I know of. As far as I know, no. So
again, but, like you said, it may have gotten what it wanted, so no reason to keep it up.
No, exactly. Yeah, it just exists. You know, it's you know, I think it enjoys seeing people get hurt. But a particular kind of person get hurt, if you know what I mean. I think it enjoys women getting hurt. It takes pleasure out of creating a kind of an environment that allows that to happen. You know.
Do you think that one of its goals was to have you, hit her or abuse her physically in some way?
Yeah, I do. That's why I think it couldn't do it itself, so it tried to do it through my wife.
Right. That's why she kept taunting you.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
whatever was in her, let's say, was taunting you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry all that happened to you, Gareth. I mean, it's not a positive story or a happy story in any way, shape, or form.
No, it's and that's the thing, you know. It's saying it. It's like if you're in an environment where you know it changes, or you buy a mirror or something like that. Or something new and comes into your house and things start changing. You know, I think the advice I was given was take it away. Don't break it if it's a mirror, but give it away. But then you kind of just think, no, do you know what? No, because I wouldn't want anybody else to go with that. And I think that's why I stopped wanting to get rid of the mirror, because I suddenly realized, I thought, you know, it's not going to leave here. It's not going to leave this thing, so wherever it goes, because it's got, you know, being an alien, going back to the background, you know, it's like if it lives in the mirror, you know, it or uses that as a kind of portal or whatever it was, just by its mere existence, then, you know, I wouldn't want to wish that on anybody else.
Well, and doesn't
I'd rather take that than have somebody else have that issue, you know, right. Have that to them, because I don't think I could knowingly do that. You know, and I think that's why just the idea went out of my head. But then, you know, when that last night happened, I went, no, I'm getting rid of it. And then it was no.
Well, it sure makes you wonder, you know, did the, you know, sure, it wasn't a very old mirror. You said it was like around 15 years old. But what happened to it within that 15 years? Did someone use it in some kind of a seance or a ritual? Or was it in the home of a place where, I don't know, let's just go the other direction, you know, 0 to 100, a house where people were murdered or something. You know, what kinds of things did it absorb that it had this thing or these things attached to it?
Yeah, you know, or was it always in it? I don't know. Or was it just, like I said, you know, was its mere existence the ability to just, like, be a gateway to come into it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just it's just by the sheer fact that it was made, you know,
Well, and you know, mirrors are powerful things. I mean, I've talked about that word that I love so much, the psychomantium, you know, it's just that small dark room and you put the mirror in there and that's all it takes. And it's all about the intention. So who knows?
Cause it's like, you know, wherever you put that in the world, wherever it comes from, then it knows where, how, you know, it's got a light now into, it's got a light into our world, if you know what I mean. You know, big neon sign over it, you know, it's like Earth here. You know,
but as far as you know, I mean, the mirror is still with your ex-wife and
you know, and
goodness me. Well, I'm really sorry about all that, Gareth, but I appreciate you sharing, of course.
That's all right. No problem at all. No, like I said, you know, it's like I felt the time was right to, like, give my story. But But also, yeah, like I said, you know, it's like there's an existence for other people. You know, if you bring anything new into the house and you notice that someone's changing or anything like that, you know, it's like go through a checklist. But obviously, that's going to be the very last one you've
right.
You kind of, you know, you kind of come to, you know, but yeah, just something I never expected in reality, you know. Even though I've experienced strange stuff in other places before, yeah, this one was completely different, been way off the scale. And that was the thing. It was like you never felt in control or be able to control it, you know, which is the frightening thing, I think.
Well, you know, Gareth, I really appreciate you sharing. Thank you so much. And I tell you what, if I'm ever in London, which hopefully one day I will be because I want to go and visit where I'm actually originally from, I will look you up and we can go have a drink at the pub. See, I have to use the right words. You know, it's not the bar, it's the pub.
Yes, the pub, yeah.
Yes. Gotta say these things properly.
Although you will see it say bar over it, but it's the pub.
Just as long as you say alcohol, beer, yeah. You're like, okay, let's go to the place at the thing and get the, yeah.
in a pint glass.
Yes. Get a proper pint for us. Yeah,
and it won't be warm. We don't serve warm beer anymore.
Yeah, that's a myth, right? You guys are way past that. Come on now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been drinking for quite a long time now. quite a while.
You can attest. It's fine now.
Yeah, it's always been cold.
Yeah. These improper myths are so unfair. Well, Gareth, thank you so much. Will you please keep in touch with me?
I will do indeed, yeah. And I'd actually like to thank you as well because I started listening to Into the Fray because through that little rogue Ryan Sprague, because I used to listen to Somewhere in the Skies driving up from London to the Midlands every weekend, and kind of ran out of episodes for him because I caught him really early on, and I started listening to Into the Fray, and it's kind of, you hear all these stories, and you know it's like, yeah, that's cool, yeah, it's a cool story, and you just don't expect to end up living in it,
right?
Which is the weird thing,
right?
But, on the other side as well, when all that bad stuff was happening, it was what kind of change, you know, give me a kind of solace actually, where I tried not to do this, but you know, I know I never did, was to just to fast forward to Mr. Alan Watts and that little kind of, you know, that little lecture that you get at the end of the fray, you know, it's and that kind of, yeah, you take on board what you actually listen to the words. They're actually awesome words, you know.
They really are. They really are. That's why I knew that it fit immediately, and I'm so lucky that Electus Official lets me utilize that. You know, that's their beat, and then they cut in that Alan Watts lecture, which if you look up Alan Watts, he has so many great talks, but that one I came across, and I thought, oh, please, please let me get permission to use this song, and they did, and I'm so grateful for it.
Oh, I'm so glad he did. So glad he did, yeah. Yeah, because I mean, it wasn't just even this kind of like in that moment where all that bad stuff is going on, and that's that, you know, it ends up being a kind of grounding, really. But
right.
It just, when you actually kind of start listening to it, you kind of think that makes so much sense.
Yeah, it puts things in perspective, you know, a little bit more.
Yeah.
Which is easy to lose in a lot of our day to day stuff, right?
It is, but it also, you know, you kind of gain so much control by actually understanding the words of your own life, and it's just like, you know, there is no past and there is no future, but there is only the present, you know, and you can only kind of control the present, really, you know.
See, you get it. Yeah. Not everybody likes the closing song, and they don't understand why I put the, you know, or I didn't put Alan Watts in there, but why I chose that, and I'm like, did you listen to the... to the words, you know, that's really powerful.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, spring doesn't was it summer doesn't become spring comes from summer or something like that. It's like you play that in your head and you're like, no, that's like chicken and egg thing, but no, it's
exactly.
Like
you know, you get it. See, Gareth, You totally get it, and I appreciate that.
So, no. Honestly, it's actually become more fundamental to the way I think and live my life, sort of thing, than anything else. Because, like you said, you know, you go on YouTube and whatever, and start listening to other lectures, and it's just like, wow, geez, there's a bigger universe out there.
We're just a tiny little speck, but still important.
Just little kind of dust flowing through time.
That's right. And you know what's so funny? But look at how far we are from each other. And it's funny because when I talked to Debbie, you know, a couple episodes ago with the elemental episode, her connection was fantastic. I mean, it's mostly, I think she had Skype as well, but your connection is fantastic. You guys' connection is far better than most people that I talk to right here in my own country. And I'm like, what is happening right now? Like this, I guess I just need to start interviewing everyone overseas. No, but it's just been funny how that's been working out. I've had a couple different people that I still need to contact. If you're listening, you know who you are. That, you know, they sounded robotic and we couldn't even execute the interview. It's like you're in the next room. It's fantastic. Sometimes technology is incredible.
Even though it took us ages to get
it, that's
on Skype, on email, on WhatsApp.
Yeah. It's always the iteration of, well, can you call me through this? No. Can you call me through that? No, unfortunately not. You know, there's only a couple different ways that I can record, but it worked out. So that's all that matters.
And the time difference as well, you know, like I said, yes. It's like, where's the flat earth? The flat earth would be so much cooler. Like,
that darn flat earth, man. It gets us every time, doesn't it?
I know. Yeah,
damn it. Well, Gareth, you enjoy the rest of your evening. Again, thank you so very much for sharing this this story with everybody.
No, absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure. It's kind of a strange thing to, like, you know, again, been listening to it for what, three years now? Yeah, into the fray for 3 years. Yeah, must be.
Thank you.
Easily, yeah. You know, and I have to say, when people don't believe in the existence of, you know, Sasquatch, you kind of think, oh, come on, just drive. I mean, I drove like all the way from New Jersey all the way down through Tennessee, like West Virginia, Virginia, right around through. I did a little bit of like UFO trip when I went to Roswell and the like and Area 51 and then up to Devil's Tower. So my turning point was always going to be Las Vegas. If you're ever in Las Vegas, don't do the strip. Just go to Fremont. It's so much better. And then the neon bone sign, whatever, the bone neon sign.
Yeah,
place.
Yeah. They have all the old signs there in one little place.
Yeah, but you know, you end up driving through like the Shenandoah kind of like park, where a national park is. You think, you know, there's so much space where something can just disappear.
Oh yeah, you know, especially if you go from the East Coast and you're, you know, anywhere near the that Appalachian Trail up and down, and you're going, yeah, there are lots of spaces for other things. So don't dismiss it so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because I mean, I used to have a girlfriend that I used to go backwards and forwards to see in Canada, in Ontario, and yeah, it's just like you don't have to walk about 20 feet into the forest, and you can turn around, and it all looks the same. You know, it's like. It's quite easy for, if you want to hide, you can hide in those places quite easily, you know, it's so vast, you know, it's just a, you know, undiscovered country still, I think, you know, it's, so I love those Sasquatch stories. They're excellent. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I do too. That's some of my favorite stuff is the old Bigfoot stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And Robert, of course, if you pop up.
And Robert. Mm-hmm. I still want to meet Robert. I always say any chance I get, Robert, I would love to meet you.
Yeah. Would you though? I don't know.
I know, right? Be careful what you wish for. I think I really would though. Cause I mean, it seems like he's as jarring as it would be. And maybe I wouldn't sleep for 6 months after seeing someone change everything about their face. I probably still would. Cause he didn't really seem to want to hurt anybody, except I don't know what the book of names was. That seemed a little nefarious to me.
Yeah, the book of names. Yeah,
yeah, just names, no numbers, no addresses, just the names. You're like, what does this mean? Yeah, it's no, obviously no. The trail of bodies that he's left, obviously. That's where my mind is. Like, oh, no, he's kind of a bad dude.
Yeah, that's how he keeps so young looking.
Yeah, yeah. It's the royal blood conspiracy theories and things, baby blood and all that. Obviously, that's how Robert stays so young. I mean, that's what Nick said. He's like, he didn't say I guarantee. He said, I have a feeling that if I met Robert again, he would be just the same age.
Yeah,
he would still be around 19.
I was driving on the motorway, listening to that one. I had to pull over. I was like, no, I'm not listening to any more of this stuff. Stop.
Yeah.
But you kind of got the sense that it was like, she's going to ask the question. And you asked it, and I was like, oh, God, he's going to ask the same question. He's going to give the answer that everyone knows.
Like, you know it's coming. You already know what he's going to say. But you just have to hear it. You know, you have to hear him say it. You're like, oh, my God, he did. He said it.
And the guy with the masks is the weak as well.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good one. Yeah.
It's a strange world out there, Shannon.
Sure is. Well, and that's why I appreciate everybody, including yourself, that are willing to come on and share parts of their own weird world, if I could speak with me. So thank you.
That's no problem at all, Sharon.
All right, keep in touch, Gareth.
I saw you called you Sharon. It's Shannon.
Everybody does that. Don't worry about it. Don't even worry. I'm sure people call you Garrett, and you're like, it's Gareth. I mean,
I had someone call me, spend 4 weeks calling me Graham. It's like, that's not my name. It's not even close to my name.
I'm like, Graham. I mean, that sounds all fancy, but that's not my name. No. The Sharon thing happens all the time, so don't even worry about that.
That's why everything comes back to Kaz. It's so easy. Actually, that's something I actually know. You could probably maybe edit this back in, actually. The reason why when I ran upstairs that time, I forgot to mention, I got in the flow there. Because I heard the name Kaz shouted, I knew it wasn't my wife because she never called me that. And it was a weird thing where that brief moment in the evening where it went all quiet, she did sit down. She goes, what do you run upstairs for? I said, because I heard someone shout my name. I remember the little one saying, she goes, yeah, I heard it too, as well, Mum. I heard it as well. And she's like, well, what, who shouted you? I said, I knew it wasn't you because he never called me Gaz. He always called me G.
Well, at least you had the confirmation of the younger one who would, for the most part, if she was home, she would experience this stuff with you. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I just, in a weird way, go, yeah, you know, this comes back. It was, the person who shouted at me was my sister. I know that for a fact. And I think whether she was kind of shouting me to get into the room to stop something happening, I don't know. But I hadn't heard that voice for 11 years. Yeah, gotta be 11 years.
Yeah, that must have been very jarring.
I knew it was her straight away, and it was like, that's why I just dropped everything and ran upstairs.
Mm. She was trying to look out for you in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a oh God, yeah, jeez. I completely forgot about that, Shannon. Sorry.
No, that's all right. I'm just gonna leave it in. It's all important stuff. So.
I think it's that coupled with my friend who committed suicide, supposedly being there as well. But
of course, the thing that I'm sure a lot of people would be saying as well is, you know, this whole trickster element to all of this is it could just be that thing mimicking other people.
Yeah, maybe. But then, you know, my sister had gone for 10 years before I met my wife, sort of thing, you know, how it would know and sound like my sister. I don't know, because I know my sister went to a good place. You know.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, that thing wasn't anywhere near her. No. But, you know, they say that these things are timeless and ageless, and they've, you know, just kind of always been here. So, you know, what that means for us, if they get their sights on us, I'm not quite so sure. But, and unfortunately, you may have found out, obviously, if that's what we're talking about. But anytime, and I've said it a million times, here's a million and five. When it's going on in your own house, it's not quite so cool and interesting and fun.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's like people kind of like, oh, I'd love to have that. No, you don't. You really don't. You know, it does what it wants, and you have no control over it, and your life does not become yours anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's probably the way where you could sum it up, really, is by saying that. You know, it's, if you think you want it, don't really. You know, we both know there's loads of ways to open doors and stuff like that, but just don't, because some things are attached to this world and some things don't leave, and you can communicate with them and that's fine. And, you know, but some things don't want to be contacted, but they'll contact you.
Yeah. And you're going to find out the hard way that they do not appreciate being contacted or pulled into your little world.
Yeah, and I know for a fact that when I did the stupid thing with the phone, I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think it was already in the mirror, because the stuff happened before.
Oh yeah,
before that ever happened, you know.
Oh yeah, that wasn't your fault.
I think that was just a kind of gentle, yeah, I'm here, you know, I'm here, let's get it on sort of thing, you know. So that's the scary thing as well. It's like, you know, ultimately, I don't think I knew I could ever win.
No, especially not if it's what you are labeling it. You know, I think if it was more of a human spirit versus inhuman, I think that most people would agree they'd rather deal with a human spirit. Inhuman is, I think, that's a whole nother ball of wax.
Yeah.
If that's what's going on, or what was going on, or probably maybe still going on, if she has that darn mirror and is susceptible to that, so...
But that's that thing as well. It's like when I saw the scratches on the back, that was, you know, I don't know a ghost that could do that, you know, because they were big. They were big. You know, and to actually sort of like drag her across the floor as well was just like, geez.
Yeah, that's something that has a whole lot of energy at its disposal.
Yeah.
Which is very scary.
A lot of energy. You know, to move someone who's, I don't know, your poundage sort of thing, but, you know, she was a thin girl, my wife, you know. She didn't weigh much. She's only like 5'2" sort of thing, you know. Even a person size, just to move across the floor on their own, by their own, you know, the legs up in the air. And then try and stop themselves. Because I remember she put her arm out to try and stop herself. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. This is kind of even... If it's even worded now that I've said it, well, it's spoken.
Right.
Things just keep flashing back in my head. Damn, I've got to edit this a lot here. you could probably just... Yeah, the thing about the name being called out, I just knew it wasn't anyone in the house. It was someone dear to me that... You know, I think we're looking out for me.
Well, it's just good that at least you're out of there and you don't have to deal with that anymore.
No. But in a weird way, it's like that kind of thing where, do I miss it? No, I'm not going to say that. No, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to entertain that thought. But I think it's that kind of thing where, you know, it's happening and you think I can get validation and stuff like that, you mm-hmm. know. Somehow, some way, when it rears its ugly head again.
We'll leave that. We'll leave that there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Gareth, you take care out there, and I do hope you keep in touch with me.
I will do indeed, Shannon. No problem at all. You'll probably see messages on Facebook or something like that. Or, you know.
Yeah, but, please do. I would like that.
Definitely when you're over, you know.
At the pub.
At the pub.
For the warm beer. Lukewarm beer,
ale or lager, or a big pint of Guinness.
That's right. There we go. The pint of Guinness. That's what we must have, right? Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, but we have so many different kind of cool, what they called, microbreweries and stuff like that.
Oh,
now,
oh god, loads, yeah, that's here
so
too.
Much
that's
choice.
Here too. Yeah, I'm more of a whiskey gal, but I'll have a beer with you. That's no problem.
Yeah, well, you know, you get whiskey from beer eventually.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
yeah,
so.
That's right. All right.
Okay.
Thank you so
day.
Much. You too. Enjoy your evening.
I will do indeed.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye bye, Tommy.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little bark. The Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes. And consulting our memories. But then there's a real evil, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans, to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are.
Thank you. sir, when you settle down in the train to read your newspaper and so on, you are not the same person who a little while ago left the platform. If you think you are linking your moments up in the train. And this is what binds you to the wheel of birth and death. But when you know that every moment in which you are is the only moment, this comes into Zen. A master will say to somebody, now get up and walk across the room. And he comes back and he says, where are your footprints? They've gone. So where are you? Who are you? When we are asked who we are, we usually give a kind of recitation of a history.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.